We had a whole crew yesterday. We should have.
Had them come on Friday.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Then all of them could have helped. It could have been part of the whole deal.
I know.
It could have been a spiritual thing.
Yeah, spiritual thing.
Is this us?
Pete's coming back, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, Pete. Ronnie didn't do well last night, so he may not be here.
We need to take a moment this morning for us to thank all our fans out there on the internet who have been sending us gifts and cards and letters.
I didn't get any of that stuff.
No, not you.
Yes, yes, you did.
Oh, you got something too.
Oh, you got something too, Ollie.
What did I get?
I don't know. It's in a box.
It might be a bomb.
Yeah, Carolyn, would you open the box for me?
I got a card and there was white powder in it.
So what did you get?
I got a real nice shirt and a card.
What did it say?
Tell me how wonderful I am.
I got a card with Jesus helping this guy down off the cross or something. And a can of butt rub nuts.
Can of what?
Butt rub
peanuts.
Peanuts.
That say butt rub on peanuts on it.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll come share it with y'all. A sweatshirt with some writings on it. Yes.
Was it an embarrassing shirt?
No.
And I got a check for $5,000 in my card.
That poor guys. That thing went well yesterday.
It went well.
We spent about 5 hours here
talking to the atheist lady.
I'm sorry, I can't hear anything you guys are saying.
It's because we're whispering.
We've gone below your radar.
The entire trek or purpose of a believer is a journey. And the journey is typified by the path of Israel. And once Israel left the world, which is allegedly what we do when we are born again, then there's only two alternatives. There's either idolatry or faith. There's nothing else. There's no in between. It's black and white. And if you can see that as Israel was in the world, but they'd adopted the gods of Israel, of Egypt, and the plagues came and destroyed the gods, then you can understand this book of the Talmud called the Abu Dazara, which is the it's the book on. And Abu Dazara means strange worship. And from the scriptural standpoint, worship simply means to give breath to. And so anything that you give breath to other than God is called idolatry. We've seen that in every possible way over the years that we've been studying. And it includes down to and including your wife, your children, yea, and your own life also, your mother, your father.
I've heard that phrase a million times, give breath to, but this moment I heard it in a special way, you might say, that when God breathed life into Adam, that was a pretty significant moment. Not just another act of something, but mean, he actually breathed life into this being. Well, that same act is given to us, and it's sacred even to breathe life into something. And it just gave me a little more something about this idolatry. Breathing life into something is a big deal. It's not just a casual act.
It's as big as it gets.
Yeah. The words went in and out.
The Talmud deals with, or this book, the Abu Dazara, deals with the strange worship of all idolatry, including worship of groves, of pillars, of graven images, of molten images under the green tree. It gives a complete look at what idolatry looks like after the flesh, so that we can know. That's why the scriptures are clear. The government is on his shoulders. That means not on yours. He was crucified at Golgotha, the place of the skull. I mean, everything shows that this warfare is only in your mind. And so that's why what you do in your aloneness is paramount. It's not just it matters not what you do outwardly. It's meaningless. Unless it's an outward expression of the reality of Christ. And every one of these strange worships that you do, you are, if you believe the book of Revelation, you are breathing life into the one who was raised from the dead from a deadly head wound. In other words, you're breathing life into each one of these little idols. They have all these tricks, I mean, because they look like they're a whole bunch of different things, but they're just one thing. In some of the parables in the Bible, that one thing is called Molech. In other places, he's called Jezaniah. In other places, he's called the Antichrist. In other places, he's called the Beast. And all the world is wandering after the Beast. But it's you and me. That's why people make such an attempt to make an outward show of religion, because they don't want to go where their real religion is, in their head, in their subconscious. That's too scary. As I've told you before, the only reason that anything has any effect on you is because of the receptors in your brain. Crack cocaine or heroin or alcohol cannot have any effect on you unless there are a receptor in the brain for it. And the receptor that covers is the receptor that the Holy Spirit uses to guide you. So you choose all this other stuff rather than the Holy Spirit. But it's even more so. It's even down to and including the slightest dependence on any of your own past experiences or your talents or your abilities. All of those things are tantamount to idolatry. So when Israel left Egypt, there was only 100% reliance on God, or in their mind, there was death. If they didn't, I mean, almost all of them that left Egypt died in the wilderness because they couldn't get to this point. There's only two out of the 6 million that made it. One was Joshua, who was the type of Christ, and one was Caleb, who was the friend of the bridegroom. That's the best you can be, is a friend of the bridegroom. You're not the bride, but the bride comes forth out of you. In order for that bride to be manifest, you have to be a friend of the bridegroom. So this thing about giving importance to your little ideas and your sweet thoughts and it's as big as it gets. That's why the mourning period is proscribed and prescribed. And if the mourning happens on one of the feast days, or if the death happens on one of these feast days, then mourning is forbidden. And so it's all a picture. It's all a type of this trip, if you will. The trip is instantaneous, but because of our rebellion, it takes forever to get there, it seems like. The trip is instantaneous because he already went it. The Christ already is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He made it. He's seated. He's there. He's our life. But we have to take all these, we don't have to, but we do. We take all these little circuitous routes around everything. It took Israel 39 and a half years or 40 years to get out of the wilderness. That's probably pretty speedy compared to some.
There's that picture. Wasn't it David who's the baby had with Bathsheba? He wouldn't wash, he wouldn't eat, he prayed, he moaned, he cried. And then when the baby died, he got up, took a shower, shaved, and ate, and went on his way.
After leaving the world, if you claim to have had a born-again experience, there's only one thing. That's 100% dependence on God. Period. It's either that or death. The penalty for the slightest idolatry is death. These ancient regulations in the scriptures which define the path of this journey. And that's, remember, that's what prosperous means in the New Testament. It has nothing to do with it. How could it cheapen the prosperity by having some money? That's about as meaningless as the meaning of prosperous is that your journey is complete and you know it. So all this other stuff is just goofy, pitiful. Or it's the same with healed or delivered or any of these other words. They have this idea that you are now completed. The journey is completed. It's successful. You're seated with him in the heavenlies. You're on the mercy seat. You've been perfected by one offering. You know that. You live that. Nothing in your mind can ever... You can't worship like you did anymore. You can't say, oh, that's just the way I am. You can't sit there and mull over yourself and be a victim of the universe, and because the universe's purpose is you. So how could you be a victim? You can only be a victim when you're deceived. What? Something's going on over here. I think it's Gary hiding behind Sue. What?
Don't make anything up.
He don't have to.
I can't remember what I was saying.
Nice try, bonehead. But this.
Oh, now I remember.
Why didn't you just say it when you thought of it?
Because I forgot it. It had to do with time. And I was out of time there.
Nice try.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about a journey. The journey implies time.
Here we go again.
Right? but the issue is that
that the work was finished before the journey ever started.
Right, that's why the gift of God is eternal life.
Right, but then you enter back into time to try and figure it out to get back to where it was before you ever started.
Like you just did.
Exactly.
And when you do it, I sense it instantly.
Yeah, well, I think it probably is helpful to everybody. We also think that it's a good time.
Oh, God. Justification never ends.
So the trial, this kid that conspired to have his parents killed, this 21-year-old. Worth the he's been convicted. Now they're sentencing either life or death, and the defense is claiming that he has a personality disorder. that's what caused him to do this. So I was thinking, I can murder somebody, and then I say, well, it really wasn't my fault. I had no control over myself because this personality disorder.
Well, I mean, you got to think about this. This, if you can look at this, when you read, especially in Numbers, and you read the trials and tribulations and what's going on with Israel during all those 40 years, what happened was it's like God asked this group of people, a small, insignificant group of people, to live as if there were no gravity. It's that dramatic. And if gravity affected them, then they were out of here. It's that dramatic. It's that because they were hardwired, you are hardwired for self-seeking. God doesn't care. That's why Jesus said, many shall come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. He spilled another bowl of oatmeal on himself, and he gets presents in the mail for it. What do I get? I just get hassled.
No, you got a present too.
Yeah, but it's probably a bomb. Can somebody send Gary a bib?
Send Gary a bib.
Take away his car keys.
Actually, there was a
feeding tube.
No, he needs no blanket to cover himself in. Many come to me, shall come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, we did these wonderful things in your name. We did all kinds of things. We even spoke in tongues. We acted like charismaniacs. We healed somebody. We even put up with Ole at Trinity Foundation. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Because nothing affected the hard wiring of self-seeking. That's what iniquity means, is self-seeking. So until you know that every single breath of self-seeking is crucifying the Son of God afresh, then nothing else matters. You'll never hear what we're talking about. You'll just try to process it into your own pagan worship in your little temple. What?
That was good.
Oh, thank you.
You know, they say that in Vietnam, most of the second lieutenants were shot in the back of the head by their own troops.
They deserved it. No, I'm dead. I'm just kidding.
Point.
No, he's got to...
Yeah. I'm supposed to do first fruits tomorrow morning.
The prohibition against idolatry is equal to all other points in the law. In other words, if you broke every single law in the scriptures and in the process destroyed idolatry, it was as though you kept them all. Why? Because without idolatry, Christ is himself. And he is the fulfillment of it all. By the same token, if you kept perfectly every single point of the law and had the smallest little idol, it was as nothing. Why? Because you crucified the Son of God afresh. There is no progress. There's no spiritual evolution. There's no getting better. It's either on or off. It's either life or death. And I would be doing the worst disservice to you in the history of man if I knew that and didn't let you know it. And if I see you in idolatry and don't say anything. The punishment for any slightest form of idolatry in ancient Israel, when they were keeping everything, was death. Didn't matter if it was a big idol, a little idol, an innocent idol, or it was death. Well, that doesn't seem very merciful. Well, mercy was personified in the sacrifice of the Son, nothing else. Oh, the other thing, what happens is like you have these little idols. If you happen to be wealthy, they're idols of gold and silver and precious jewels. So I know, I'll get rid of the idol, I'll sell it. No. No. You cannot have the slightest benefit from the idol. Because you have to know that there is no innate value. There's nothing. It's worthless. It's as worthless as the dust it came from. Now, what does it mean to sell your idol? Back in those days, it meant you sold it to a Gentile. In these days, it means, well, I'll take advantage of this one situation, and then I'll stop. Is this touching anybody? Remember, this is all belief. All these idols are belief and all the other stuff. But I decided to stop with the pillars, which are your belief systems, and concentrate on the fundamental aspects of idolatry. All this is to get ready to leave Egypt. The plagues are coming. The plagues are here. The plagues have always been here. The 10 plagues which destroy, they had nothing to do with punishing the world. God wasn't punishing Pharaoh. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. And the reason was, is because his people had accepted the gods of Egypt, the value systems of Egypt. That's why the plagues came, and that's why they come on you. They didn't have anything to do with the world. God didn't give a rat's ass about the world. Or a flying whatever else I used to say before I got nice. What?
We've talked about idols being marred a lot. It's like they don't necessarily go away, but they lose their power.
An object could only be used after it had been annulled, mutilated by a heathen. You can't mar your own idol because that would give you the strength. That's why I've said for years, you've got to go push everything. You've got to come to the end of everything, so that you're not the one that tries to circumcise yourself by, well, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, that's called you are then of the concision and not of the circumcision, because you've cut or tried to cut your own idolatry. And it just empowers it because it makes it secret. You understand that? Harry?
I was just thinking that this, the stuff that you talk about every day, the things that you say and the things that are in this Bible really are a complete closed system. I mean, it's true. But the only thing, there's nothing you can do. All you can do is wait. If I reach my hand out for anything, it's, in this case, idolatry. It's whatever metaphor we use to study, it's the same thing, that all there is to sit and wait on God. Anything else is all the bad things we study.
Any idolatry, no matter how slight, how sincere, how innocent, was tantamount to the denial of God. Now you think this is difficult. It's not. It's the simplest thing in the world. You depend only on God for everything. It's not difficult. When a little child shall lead them, Shannon should lead us. She's our real leader. I'm worthless compared to her, because she is the leader. She is what we need to be in terms of totally 100% dependence. Not some sloppy sentimentality about poor Shannon. Can you feel this? What? There is a disturbance in the force of Wade.
I don't know. I'm thinking of a lot of things.
Anything you want to share?
I don't drink too much beer.
I'm thinking about Stuart, and if Stuart felt like he had to earn my favor, earn my love, and how the sheep and the goats, the people said, we did these things to earn favor, and how that cheapens God's mercy.
And you can watch it in children that where they have been given the idea that they need to earn something or needed to perform. And no matter how they got to know that, if that's what they begin their belief system, they go to hell. There's neuroses upon neuroses, and then when you grow up, then you come here. But that's why those childish things are just you can't live by those anymore. Doesn't matter how what your childhood was or what poor things happened to you or how your inner child was just so abused. Just kill a little shit and you can be free. Don't you sit there and nurse that crap.
This thing about the concision you mentioned a while ago is really hitting hard. If you're not a worshiper and you're hiding it so other people won't know it and bust you, then you're of the concision. You're a sneak, a religious sneak.
Well, what that means, and another parable of that is that you are trying to redeem yourself by performance. Or
right.
With the home circumcision kit.
That is not a good plan, is it?
No. I'm sorry you brought that up. We can sell those in the door.
Write that down.
Where's Skippy when we need him?
Where's Judy?
That's not going to be a big seller, Wade.
Any idolatry, by definition, is polytheism. So you no longer believe in one God. And it never ends up with two. In an instant, they reproduce. And that's why we have it. John said, now in India, there's 5 million named gods. There's probably about 10 times that many in America. But they call America as a Christian. They try. They were talking about... The host family for this atheist was talking about having in God we trust on our money and we're a Christian nation. And, oh, God, I hit the ceiling.
Christian tree.
Yeah, and well, I think I said a Christian rock, but... They got a little upset when I told them what that meant. They were taking the name of the Lord in vain. So. And the Lord will not hold you guiltless who taketh his name in vain. I don't think they liked me.
Yeah, they probably won't be back.
It's not difficult. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's a simple, childlike dependence. And it's promised that if you're a follower of his, you will suffer. Don't think it's surprising. Lose the capacity to think that the moment you're in should be different than it is. If your cup is difficult, drink it with grace. But don't go back up to your old workplaces of worship. Don't be influenced by whether or not you had a happy childhood or not. That's just goofy, pitiful. People always try to take what I said and then try to apply it to the world. It had nothing to do with the world. If you want to live in that world, go live there.
Nope. Relating back to that other thing you said about processing this information from here onto our templates to make it.
To make it acceptable to your worship system.
Yeah, that's just this more evil of the mind, the way it works. There's no end to it.
Well, that's a little pricey on the Abu Dazara, a strange worship. But it's just a picture of what our minds do. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ, without exception. It's finished. You've been perfected by one offering. You own all things. We rest in Him. Settled. Period. If you got a better way, let me know. Any response? Take it, big guy. We need Joyce Anna is always in charge.